Now we're going to turn today to Psalm 103. We read that last week and we're going back again to this great psalm, one of the mountain peaks in the book of Psalms. And we'll read for the sake of time from verse 8. Psalm 103 and verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. May the Lord bless to our hearts this short reading from his own infallible word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before thee today, and we thank thee, O God, for the return of thy day, and we bless thee, and as we turn to thy word, that thou would encourage every individual soul. We think, Lord, of those whom thou hast blessed to be fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. We pray that thou would bless them today from the word of the Lord. And for those, Lord, who are not men at all but women, we pray that thou would bless them also. And Father, we ask of thee that thou would lift our eyes towards heaven, that in the middle of this world of woe, we may rejoice in the goodness and the graciousness and the love of our God. And Father, we pray that thou would suit a blessing to every individual soul. For thou dost know the needs, we pray that thou would meet the needs, and especially those, Lord, who are ill, we pray for thy healing touch upon them. For those who are aged and infirm, Lord, encourage them by the way. For those, Lord, who have decisions that they have to make, give them wisdom that they might know the mind and the will of the Lord. And grant, O God, that no soul shall leave this service untouched by the hand of the Lord today. Be with us now, we pray, and speak by thy power, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On this Father's Day, we're reminded that in North America, it has been customary for some years to set aside days to honor the parents. In the month of May, Mother's Day, and today, Father's Day. Now, the cynics amongst us may say, well, the real objective of Mother's Day and Father's Day is to promote the spending habits of their consumers. And, of course, card makers and merchants, their sales increase dramatically at these times of the year. For who is going to go against mothers and who is going to go against fathers? However, such honor for those people, I believe, is a good emphasis. Anything that reflects and strengthens family life is to be welcomed. And it harmonizes well with the fifth commandment. You heard the children saying there, honor thy father and thy mother. And so today we are specially thinking of the fathers and so on. And I want to highlight a verse from Psalm 103. No doubt you've guessed it already and don't need to guess it because it's in the bulletin. And that is the verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. This is an amazing verse that God looks down and likens himself to a father, and he shows pity and love and compassion to those of us here on this world. There are two things I want to share with you. First of all, there is the divine simile where it says, like as a father pitieth his children. And then we'll look at the divine sympathy, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now, with regard to this divine simile, like as a father pitieth his children, it raises a question, and the question is, does God have emotions? Does the infinite, the eternal, and the unchanging God, who has all things, who made all things, does he actually have emotions? Because pity is an emotion that we are familiar with. And we ask the question, does the Almighty, does He feel happy at times? Does the Almighty perhaps feel sad at times? Does He experience pity, as we have read here? You see, some people, they look upon God as like a surgeon. A surgeon comes along and he will knife into somebody's body, and he has to be very focused on the surgery he is proceeding with, and he's not going to be terribly concerned about the emotional impact on the person on the operating table or on the family round about, because he can't afford himself the luxury of getting too involved with those who are undergoing a surgery. So some people see God as one who is very efficient, cuts deep, but with a lack of emotion. Likewise, a physician, he can prescribe some nasty medicine or some hurtful treatment like chemotherapy and so on. And again, he cannot afford to get too emotionally involved with the patients. He will be to some degree, but he can't be too much, because he has a job to do and must make sure that that job is done properly. But here in this psalm, David is speaking to us of divine pity. It says there that like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. So He's speaking to us about divine pity. Now somebody says, yes, but He's speaking as a man. Well, that is true, because how else can God communicate with us? And how else can we understand what God is like? Because until we learn the language of angels or the language of heaven, we would not understand what God is going to say. But here in the Bible, He uses human terms in the Word that you and I can understand. And so there's something there for us, something to encourage us, something there to bless us. And what a difference to the heathen gods. The heathen, they make their gods, make them out of plaster, stone, wood, whatever. They make their gods, and they are emotionless creations of the people and the worshippers of them. And when they make them carefully to have eyes, but those eyes are unseeing, because they can't see you in your time of need. They make these idols at the same time with some form of ears, but those ears are unhearing. They can't hear your cry, and they cannot respond to your need at any given time. These idols can be made with lips as well, giving the idea that perhaps they could speak, but they cannot speak. And so when we need to hear a word from the Lord, we cannot hear it from a heathen god, because they are but emotionless creations of the worshippers who have made them. Nature itself is emotionless. For example, if you see, and I hope you don't see, but if you ever saw a tornado coming along, the tornado does not have any emotion with regard to the town or village it's heading to, and causes destruction and the death of the people, the destruction of their property, and all kinds of injuries. Nature is emotionless. And the lion going out to find his prey bounds across the plain after some hapless animal. And when he sinks his teeth and his claws into it for his daily meal, he has no thought of emotion of what's happening to the creature that he's going to eat, or to the creature's family as well. So nature is emotionless. But here, God presents Himself to us as one who does have emotion, who does have feeling. The Bible tells us in other places that the Father of all things, that He does rejoice. So God can be happy. And then you find also that the Lord Jesus Christ, it is said of Him that He was moved with compassion. So the Lord Jesus Christ, He is not one without emotion, but He considers our situation. And the Holy Spirit, the blessed third person of the Trinity, it speaks of Him as being vexed and as being grieved. And when you turn to Hebrews chapter 4, you have something there akin to emotion, when it says of the Lord Jesus, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So we have a Savior who understands our situation and who can feel for us and can rejoice with us and can, as the Bible tells us, sing over us. So when you look at this divine simile, that like as a father pitieth his children, you're looking at something that is real, you're looking at something that is true, and you're looking at something that you can rest upon today. It doesn't matter what your trouble may be or your concern may be, we have a sympathetic God, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now let's have a look at this divine sympathy that is before us. Here we have a precious commodity, a precious like the alabaster box of spikenard, very, very precious indeed. And you will notice it is not wasted on the ungodly. It is used for and reserved for the people of God, because it says, as for man, his days are grass, but God as a father pitieth his children, and he pitieth them that fear him. So the pity and the compassion of Almighty God is reserved for people who fear him. Now the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That doesn't mean to say that we are to cower under Almighty God. It means that we are to respect him as the great creator of all things and the creator of our bodies and of our souls. So this precious commodity, the pity of the Lord, is for those who are blood-washed and spirit-born and who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it's a blessed relationship, because he is speaking here of the people of God being like children. Like as a father pitieth his children, that's the earthly father, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So the clear inference is that we as believers are regarded as the children of the Lord. And that's a tremendous blessing, because at one time we were not children of the Lord. When we were born into this world, we were born in sin, and we were shapen in iniquity, and we were separated from God, not in God's family, but rather in the family of the devil. Because in John 8:44, it tells us, as the Lord Jesus spoke to some of the Jewish people at that day, very harshly but truly, ye are of your father the devil, and his works you'll do. So we were born into the family of the wicked one. But then the Lord, through the operation of the Holy Spirit, came and convicted us of our sin, brought us to a position of repentance where we called upon the name of the Lord, and there we experienced the free gift of God's salvation through his grace and by faith. And as children of God, we are adopted into his family for all time and for all eternity. And so it is a blessed thing to be planted in the house of our God and to be a child of the King. Now, pity is an emotion. It is a loving emotion. It is an emotion that has within it a measure of pain and a measure of sadness, but also a measure of support and care. So we're told here that as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And so today we know that God pities us, and he also likens us to children. And that's very wise, because at times we do behave in a very childish manner, even as adults, even as believers of many years, we can behave in a childish manner. But the good thing is that no matter what happens, God does pity and love and have compassion upon his children. Now he pities us in our feebleness. We are not a strong people like the conies in the book of Proverbs. We are not a strong people of ourselves. We are quite weak. Now some people, they say, I know because they know everything and therefore they feel very, very strong. But as believers, we confess we do not know everything. We are learning as time goes on. And in our learning, we are oftentimes very, very feeble. But you know, an earthly father does not berate its child for lack of knowledge. Little Haley up there in the gallery, just a week old, can't speak and can't talk and can't express herself at all. But the father, Jonathan, does not in any way berate that little child because it can't speak or walk or talk, because he knows that that is going to come along. Rather, he just loves it. And God tells us here that while we are feeble and weak, God patiently teaches us line upon line and precept upon precept. And when we learn some new lessons, the Lord God Almighty rejoices in that. You know how it is with a little child when they learn to do something. Come on, Mommy, you see what I've done? And as long as a good thing, well, boy, that's very, very good. In fact, we had a wonderful time with the school play this past week. And you look at some of those children. We had one particular woman who was a teacher in our school away back in the early days before she moved to another area. And she saw some of the people in the play that she taught who were just about this height here. And how she rejoiced to see these young people growing up as fine Christians. And so she rejoiced. And likewise, He has tender compassion and pity upon us in our feebleness, and does rejoice when we make progress in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Also, God pities us in our frailty. Little child can't do very much, and it has very little strength. And I hope Jonathan and Dana don't mind, but they've given me a perfect illustration this morning, sitting up there in the gallery with little Haley, that a mother does not despise that little baby. All the size of it, born 7 pounds, 4 ounces, does not despise it in any one way, because that there is a precious gift from God. And so she looks down and she pities that little one, and she loves that little one. And likewise, as God looks down upon us, some people are given a degree of strength by the Lord, but there's others who, as believers, don't have very much strength. But God looks down upon His people in their frailty, and He helps them, and He does not despise them. He loves them, He cares for them, and He pities them, and wants to lead them in the way everlasting. And then also, the Lord pities us, not just in our feebleness and our frailty, but He pities us in our follies. Remember, He likens us to children. And little children, they do have their times of folly. And I'm sure every parent here, in fact, every person here, at some time, as a child, had tried to cut their own hair because they thought they could do a better job than maybe the mother did. And you come home and you find there's a big whack of hair missing. And you look down and you say, "What have you done?" But you don't despise the child for that foolish act. What you do, it was well meant. It was a well-meant thing, but it was very, very foolish, and it takes a while for it to grow out again. And the parents hope that the lesson will be well learned as they look at themselves in the mirror and find the big piece of hair missing. And no comments about how much I'm missing, by the way. I didn't cut that out. That came out naturally. But as the child does that, the parents hope that the lesson is well learned. And we all make mistakes. And as God looks down upon His people, He loves them. And He loves them even in their mistakes, that when the mistake is not deliberate rebellion. Now, when you deliberately rebel against God, that's one thing. But when you make a mistake, God understands that and God pities that. And so He looks down upon us as a father, and He pities them that fear Him. And then, also, God pities His people in their faults. Children do wrong. Every one of us, when we were children, did wrong. And we need to be forgiven of the things that we have done wrong. And a good child is never satisfied until forgiven. And all of us have, we can look back to the times when we got a lashing at home for doing something wrong. And go out of the house and say, well, I'm not going to live here. Why should I live in this house? They don't like me and don't love me and all the rest. I'm going to go somewhere else. And you get a little parcel with your good things in it and a stick and away you go. But you don't go very far because you're not happy until you've been reconciled. And you come back to the mother and she looks at you, puts arms on you and forgives you for your wrongdoing. You see, when we get angry and we do things and we hurt others, we come to a place where we say, I'm sorry. And God pities His people. And God looks upon His people. And God forgives His people. And the wonderful thing is that God does not love us any more today than He did yesterday, or any less than He did yesterday. Because God's love for His people, for whom He gave His Son, God's love for His people is infinite. And today we should thank the Lord that He looks upon us, and as a father pitieth his children, the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Then, not only that, but the Lord pities us in the times of our falls. Little children, they learn to walk. And you stop to think about it. That is one of the most amazing things in this world, that a child can ever walk. Because starts off, has to be lifted and laid. After a little while, begins to get mobile and be able to crawl. And then finally, it's able to stand up. Now, once it begins to walk, I tell you, that is an amazing thing. Because if you know anything about engineering or mechanics and so on, you'll know that there's a thing called the center of gravity. And all things are stable based on the center of gravity. And if you have a little child standing up for the first time, it's got a center of gravity. And it is going to move forward. And as it moves, the center of gravity is going to move. And for the child to be able to handle that, there are literally millions of little decisions that have to be made to balance. And you see that child taking its first few steps there. You think, oh, that's wonderful. It just walked. But you never stop to think how marvelous it is that a child is able to walk. But, of course, they will walk a little bit and they'll stumble and they'll fall. And you don't berate the little child because it's fallen down. But you go with tender hands, you pick it back up on its feet and away it goes again. Until it learns to really walk and so on. So you have love for it. And God is the same with His people. We grieve Him, as the hymn says, by 100 or 1,000 falls. And yet the loving hands of the Lord come down, reach down, take us by the hand, and lift us back up again. You take, for example, Peter walking on the water. All full of enthusiasm. Lord, bid me to walk in the water like you did. And the Lord says, come, and Peter steps out, and he walks in the water in a miracle. But then he takes his eyes of the Lord, and he begins to sink, and he cries out from his heart, Lord, save me! And the Lord reached down his hand and took him by the hand and brought him back into the boat again. And then later on, Peter, he sinned against the Lord once more because he denied the Lord. Another fall in Peter's case. But you look at the last chapter of John's Gospel, how lovingly God and the Lord Jesus Christ lifted Peter back and sent him forward in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ as the great apostle to the Jews. And so the Lord, He helps us. And when we do fall, there's always a hand to lift us and get us back up as long as we acknowledge, Lord, I failed, I've fallen. Help me, Lord, and you'll find He will. And then something else, the Lord will pity His people and His children in their feverish times, in fevers, because Well, children, as they grow up, they have childish ailments. And sometimes that you look at them when they're ill and you think they're never going to last another day. And I've been through that with one who's sitting in the back row of the church right now when I thought he was surely going to die. And then another one who's a granddaughter who's here, and I thought surely she's not going to see the next day because she's so ill. And yet they recover. They recover, and the fevers, they pass away, and the parent tenderly soothes the sick child. But you know, sometimes we get our spiritual fevers, we get out of kilter, and we get in a bad state, and perhaps have a heart that is breaking, or a heart that is aching, and we don't know what to do. But all the time, the Lord, as our Father, He is looking down and He is pitying us. And that pity involves not just looking upon us in the need, but giving and rendering help to us, to help us in every time of need. And then the Lord also pities us in not just our feebleness, our frailty, our follies, our faults, and our fevers, but also in our feelings. Because we are ordinary people, and we are subject to emotions ourselves, and sometimes our feelings can be hurt by somebody else, and we can grieve over these feelings, and we sit there and we find that the real world is very, very hard, and you find that very often the world couldn't care two hoots about you or about anybody else because they're so busy chasing after their own interests. And at times we feel badly hurt, and we are hurt by those round about us. But thank God, God looks upon us. He pities us in those times of need. And the parents of a child in a position like that, they are most protective of the hurt child. In fact, I would say they're more protective of the hurt child than they are of the child that's not hurting. And there is a tremendous protective wall round about that child. And in the hurts of the Christian life, and there are those hurts, God is most concerned. And He pities us. He looks down. He loves us with an everlasting love. And He puts His arms round about us. And He helps us. And He wipes the tears away. And He tries to get us to get our eyes off the hurt onto the person who's hurt us, but to look to Him, because God has never, ever hurt His child and never would hurt His child according to the teaching of His precious word. And then also another one, and that is the Lord pities us in our fears. I get upset when I'm driving along and I see some character, maybe clown be a better word, driving along with a sticker in the back window, "No fear." And in those foolish acts of bravado, telling us we're hard people, we're able to take care of everything, we have no fear. The only thing is that it's a lie, it's not true, because everybody has fears, and anybody who says, "I have no fear," is a fool. Or a clown, as I said. Because all of us have fears. We have fears of failure. We have fears of sickness. We have fears of calamity. We have fears of death and so on. Every one of us has suffered some different fears. But the Bible says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." And the Lord looks down upon us in our time of fear, and is able to help us, and is able to encourage us in the Lord. So friends, today on this Father's Day, I trust that everyone, not just the fathers and so on, but everyone will be encouraged and rejoice that God is looking upon us. And whatever your need may be today, He is able to meet that need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And let us who are men today learn to be good fathers according to the best example set by the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. How sad it is when a father is the means of leading a child astray. How good it is when a father is the means of leading a child to the Lord Jesus Christ and to eternal life. And as John said in 3 John, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. May God help us to be good fathers, good mothers, and so order our homes that the children therein may grow in the grace of the Lord and come to know Christ and to serve Him. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before Thee today and we thank Thee that we can call Thee Abba Father. We bless Thee, O God, that in every time of need Thou hast looked down upon us. And Lord, at times we are so consumed by our own concerns that we have lost sight of the fact that Thou art watching over us. And Lord, even more so, that Thou dost actually rejoice with singing over Thy people. Lord, it is an amazing thing that Thou dost so love so little. We ask You, Lord, to bless every soul here today. Thou dost know, Lord, the individual areas. Maybe we touched on some of them today where they need to touch them, God. We pray that none will go away without a touch from Thy hand this day. Hear this, our prayer. Lord, should there be a soul that has never come to Christ yet and does not even know Thee as the Father. Our Father, we pray that Thou would draw that soul unto Thyself and save that soul by Thy grace. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as we're closing hymn number 172. 172, Father of Peace.